Earth explorers, welcome to X Squared Radio, where the past meets the future. I'm your host, Brooks Agnew. In here, the results are always positive. We explore the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. Whether you are driving across the country or listening on the web while you're working on your favorite project, you are about to learn more about who we are, why we are here, and what we may become if you thought possible. We might go a little past your imagination, but have no fear. You will be safely traveling with us. Keep your arms inside the vehicle, recline your chair, and look out the window as we launch X Squared Radio. Foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived a disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Welcome, Earth Explorers, to X Squared Radio. We're so glad that you're here with us tonight. We're coming to you live from Eastern Washington State, up against the borders of Canada and Idaho. The solar wind today is a mere 455 kilometers per second, but sky watchers should stay alert as a huge coronal mass ejection occurred at 2:08 in the afternoon of April 26th, Earth-orbiting satellites detected a surge of X-rays registering B3.8 on the Richter scale of solar flares. This strange solar flare came from a patch of sun where magnetic fields were not intense enough to form a visible sunspot. Sunspots are made of magnetism. Nevertheless, magnetic fields were present with sufficient energy and instability to produce a powerful explosion. NASA's twin stereo spacecraft, observing the sun from widely separated vantage points, recorded a million mile per hour shockwave, or solar tsunami, spreading from the blast site through the sun's atmosphere. In about 20 hours, the blast will reach Earth. An aurora borealis is highly likely, but those of you who read our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years know exactly what is happening and what is about to happen. Volume 3 has the final word on the end times surrounding the 2012 mysteries, so be sure next week to order your copy when they come off the presses. Scientists urge residents of northern Nevada's largest city to prepare for a bigger event as the area continued rumbling Saturday after the largest earthquake in a two-month-long series of tremblers. More than 100 aftershocks were recorded on the western edge of the city after a magnitude 4.7 quake hit Friday night, the strongest quake around Reno since one measuring 5.1 in 1953, said researchers at the Seismological Laboratory at the University of Nevada, Reno. Seismologists are baffled by the pattern because the quakes started out small and continued to build in strength. The normal pattern is for a main quake followed by smaller aftershocks. A magnitude 6 quake wouldn't be a scientific surprise, John Anderson, director of the Seismological Lab, said Saturday. We certainly hope residents are taking the threat seriously after last night. The USGS said Friday night's quake was centered around Mogul, just west of Reno. Scientists said they're unsure whether the seismic activity at opposite sides of Nevada and the more than 600 quakes felt off the coast of Oregon in a recent 10-day period are related. One thing is for sure, something big is going on deep beneath the surface of the Earth. You know that we had planned the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition for this year. Our 13-city awareness tour last year created such massive interest in the North Pole that the Yamal's charter tours booked up 4 months early. So we did not have the opportunity to make the trip this year. You also know that the ice expanded again over the winter, and in March of 2008, it covered a greater area than it had in March of 2007. Although this was billed as good news in many media sources, the trend since 1978 is on the decline. We strongly believe that if we are able to make the voyage for the greatest expedition in history, that we must do it in 2009. That means that full funding for the voyage must be found in 8 months or less. Many are called, but few choose. There are people out there who have been called to support this expedition. You know who you are. So get a hold of those folks down at Phoenix Science Foundation and see what you can do to help. Last week, we had Ed Grimsley and James Gilliland on the program talking about UFO activity high above the Earth. Evidently, some of the activity is not peaceful, as there appears to be battles going on up there. Pull up last week's program and find out. This week, we have the author of Secret of the Soul and Adventures Beyond the Body, William Buhlman. He is an expert on astral travel and OBEs. Please welcome with me William Buhlman. How are you doing, William?
Hello, just great.
That is awesome. We are going to have our phone lines open the entire 3 hours this program. Some of you have already been emailing about William. You've read his books and didn't have a chance to talk to him on other talk shows, so you'll have the full 3 hours this time to call in. Toll free anywhere in the U.S., 888-228-4494. Anywhere toll-free in Canada, 877-489-6350. And anywhere else, on planet, off planet, if you can reach a cell phone tower, you can get to us at 530-776-5154. Or, if that line is busy, try 5185. And if you're using Skype, you can just simply reach us at bbsradio_com. So, William, the subject of out-of-body experiences is talked about by many, but really understood by very few. Some people think that spirits out of bodies are ghosts, and some think they're just wisps of white smoke or dark shadows. Let's start out by helping our listeners understand what an out-of-body experience is from the first-person point of view. How does someone know they have had an out-of-body experience?
Well, an out-of-body experience is essentially the separation of consciousness from the body, and it does not entail the death of the physical body, which, of course, is an NDE or near-death experience. Out-of-body experiences are been reported in every culture throughout history. There's estimates of over 50 million occurring every year, and they're actually very common in children. It's a wide cross-section of people in all different cultures that have and report the experience.
Well, how can we tell the difference between an out-of-body experience and a dream?
It's basically the difference between being an active participant in a, let's just say, use an analogy of a sporting event. During an OBE, you are the quarterback. You're on the field. It's real time. It's just as real as the physical world. And in a dream, you don't have control over the experience. You're generally a participant. You're an observer. You're not a participant. It's a very vivid, very real experience, just as real as we are talking today.
Wow. I remember the book Contact, and not the movie, because there were some things they didn't get right in the movie, where Elle arrives back on Earth after 18 hours of wormhole travel, and she had sand in her pockets. So are people really going to these places and times they talk about in these OBEs?
Definitely. And the best way, one of the exciting things about out-of-body experiences is that each listener today can prove it for themselves. This is not about belief systems. This is not about, you know, I don't ask anybody to believe anything that I report. What I try to do is for the last 30 years is teach people how to have their own experience so they can absolutely verify it for themselves as a reality. And that's the most important.
Sorry. That's the wonders of internet radio. We do have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Brett. This is Mark from Albuquerque.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing wonderful.
That's great.
Do you have a question for William?
I just got through and I had it turned down. So I wasn't sure which William it is.
William Buellman, we're talking about out-of-body experiences and the difference between that and a dream. So,
oh yeah, I would have the question. Not really a question, but I just picked up where he was speaking about it. There's definitely a difference between the two, and I'll affirm that through my experience that it's very true. Is there a way for people to tell that might have had the experience and weren't sure which one is which that he could express?
Well, that's a good question. I think a verification of your experience is always good. Many people, for instance, if you're in a physical-like environment, and many people at the beginning stages of OBEs will find themselves in what I call the parallel world, and other people have called the etheric. It's like an energy duplicate of the physical world. It's the densest energy level closest to the physical. And what I suggest people doing is actually touching that, become immersed in the environment. In other words, verify, touch it, feel it. Use as many senses as possible to verify your experience.
Wow. Well,
may I add one other point here? Some people actually try to observe their own physical body, which can be quite shocking, of course. You have to remain very objective to do it, but I've received hundreds and hundreds of letters from people who have actually observed their own physical body as they sleep. And, of course, talk about a shocking verification. That's certainly one way.
What about observing the body that the form you take when you're astrally traveling?
Well, but often what people will experience is a duplicate of their physical form, especially in the beginning stages of the experience, because our mind will mold the energy vehicle we're using. So many people experience the same kind of body, and you're just as dense. One of the misnomers of out-of-body experience is that people think you're just a vaporous or non-form-based being, and that's not true at all. You're just as form-based as your mind creates. You're just vibrating at a higher, let's just say, vibrational rate, so you're not as dense. But in your reality, you were just as real and solid as your surroundings.
Wow. And that's true, really, for the reality of the world, too, is we are set in our vibration. What our memory is and what we've been taught is our vibration. And this, what we call the reality also, isn't that somewhat true?
Well, people's perception of reality is three-dimensional. And because of our mental presets, our perception, of course, is relative, because there's many, many different realities that exist all within us. And form-based realities is just one of countless others that exist. So what we perceive as real is actually still remains subjective, because it's reality is based on the vibrational rate of the observer. That's the bottom line. Only what is real to you is what you are, what is in sync with your personal vibration rate when you leave your body. And as you raise your vibration rate, you'll notice real quickly that the physical world dissolves away, because you're moving inward within the universe. And as you move inward, all form begins, at least the physical form of your surroundings, your home, your house, your car, all of that will dissolve and disappear as you move inward into another dimension.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Brooks. Great guest. Right on. And just letting you know that we're out here listening to you.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much for the call.
All right, brother.
So, William, are there any limits to the places or times that we can go in these OBEs?
There is only the limits that people place upon themselves. That's one of the amazing things about out-of-body experiences. It's people create their own limits, and they don't even realize they're doing it. Think about it for a moment. Most people's preconceptions of who they are is creating the most stringent limits. We think we're physical. We think we're humans. We think we're three-dimensional. We think we're males and females. We think we're the parts and the roles we play. All of these things are not what we are. They're just a vehicle of consciousness we're temporarily using for experience.
And I'm sitting here smiling because we were just talking about that over breakfast this morning, that we often think we're getting old, and so we do, or we think we're getting sick, so we are. You're right. You're exactly right. We impose upon ourselves this form of what we believe we are.
Oh, absolutely. It's and unfortunately, what most of humanity has done is created a prison for themselves, a form-based prison. They've identified with this density, this physical form as them, and that creates a severe prison for each individual. And most humans don't even realize how much of a prison they've placed themselves in by this self-concept. One of the things that I found when I prolong my out-of-body experiences is that my physical form will begin to dissolve away, and I'll lose my humanoid form eventually. And what I become is a teardrop or a globe of consciousness with 360 degree. At first it was amazing, and then I realized through decades of having experiences, that is what I am. That is my true nature, is not humanoid. In other words, none of it. I can't help but chuckle at all this talk about aliens and that you hear on all these shows that in conferences I go to, because we're all aliens to the physical world. This is not our home. We're consciousness, temporarily using a physical humanoid form for experience, and eventually we will drop this outer form as we evolve.
We'll get into a lot more of that detail in the third hour, because I really want to cover that. If we can lay a good foundation this first hour and a half, I think we can really have an amazing understanding here, because I think you've got it. I think you have the raw materials here to really solve this for a lot of people. So let me ask you, if there's no limits to the places or the times that we can go, do you find that that beginners kind of go places they've already been in some lifetime, or can they explore new places and times, places they have not been before?
Most people at the beginning, and this is based on, it's not just my experiences. I like to share this real quickly so the listeners will know. I base my information not only on my 35 years of experience, but on over 17,000 people that responded to my surveys.
Wow.
In my books that are in 8 languages. So I get feedback from all over the world. And one of the things that I've definitely noticed is that at the beginning stages, now this depends on the individual, of course. There's nothing in stone, because some people have previous training in past incarnations, and they're not so identified, but most people will hang around their physical residence in the beginning, because that's what they're comfortable with. And most people have a difficult time actually getting away from their body. And we can talk about this later, because it's like a magnetic pull. So the vast majority of people, the first few experiences, will generally have a tendency to stay near their physical body. And then as they grow in confidence, and their freedom will expand.
Okay. So what about other worlds? I mean, are we just limited to this planet and this reality, or can we go
to anywhere? No limitation. There's absolutely no limitation. Only what you create.
We're not even limited to this galaxy.
No, this galaxy is... This galaxy is a minuscule part of the whole.
So are we limited to any calendar barrier? Like some people tell that no one can see past the year 2012. I mean, are we limited?
No, that's not true. I've not found that to be true.
Okay.
At all.
Now, are
that's
we...
an artificial date that's created. Consciousness is using form for evolution. And it will continue to use form for evolution after that calendar date.
Interesting. Are we the only beings on Earth that have astral travel experiences?
Oh, absolutely not. I've had experiences with a dog and a cat. There's animals have the ability. I have had personal. I write about my experience with my dog. My pets will actually follow us when we have an out-of-body experience. It's not an intentional thing. They're very natural. Cats are especially adept at having out-of-body experiences. And they will actually follow people. I have hundreds and hundreds of reports of this. It's quite fascinating.
Wow.
Because people think of dogs and cats as being a lower form of evolution. But it's amazing. Once they're out-of-body, you communicate by thought. And I have found animals to be far more advanced than I ever thought possible. You know, they're evolving consciousness. They're not just a dog or a cat. The form of the dog and the cat is just a vehicle used to learn a lesson. And then they move on to another life form. That's been based on my experience. My dog was surprisingly intelligent when I had this, just this thought transference. And I've heard a lot of reports of this, not just my own, but a lot of people have sent me their personal experiences. I actually was going to include a chapter on this subject in one of my books, but my book was running, Secret of the Soul was running too long. So it had to be removed. I had a chapter of mostly household pets that would follow people during OBEs and I found it totally fascinating, but unfortunately I had 3 chapters. It was just lengthy and I had to cut back.
Yeah, I know what that's like. Well, so what is the main limiting factor for a person to have an OBE?
Self-conception and fear is what limits people. We're our physical-based self-conception creates this dense mold that we're attached to, which is a very severe, difficult obstacle for many people to overcome. Next, of course, is fear, which is we live in a fear-based society. Unfortunately, our Judeo-Christian religion has saturated the consciousness with a lot of fear-based beliefs that are not valid, but still prevalent in our group consciousness. Hell, Satan, and all these other things that are all part of our society, our culture. In other words, we've been sold a bill of goods that's false on many different levels. This is why the Buddhists pick young boys at a very young age and begin training them to be monks, because they want to grab them basically before they've assimilated the negative limits of their society. This is an old standard that many of the, not only the Buddhists, but other cultures have done. They feel you have to start the training early, because many people are contaminated. We're all contaminated by our culture of fear and limits and lies and self and limits, because it's all artificial. It's all falsehoods, but yet we buy into it. And every lie that we buy into, it, of course, is another wall, another barrier we have to break through. And this is really the main obstacle to self-initiated out-of-body experiences. It's our self-imposed limits, not external, but what we believe is what limits us. Because we believe the cultural beliefs that are often flawed.
Well, we do see the flaw of cultural beliefs. I mean, we see it on the news every day. We see youth that are brought up in the glory of warfare against another race or against another nationality. We see patriotism carried to extremes that divide a very small planet into cultures that are locked in what seems to be eternal battle with one another.
Yeah.
And it is all these cultural dogma that's...
Well, it's a continuation of the tribal mentality that has continued for 2,000 years in humanity. Unfortunately, we haven't evolved nearly. Our technology has evolved, but humans still follow leaders that are unfortunately not, let's just say, knowledgeable of themselves. They don't possess self-knowledge.
Well,
so unfortunately, people follow the words and the sometimes the personalities. You see it today in the political process. People are still very much moved by emotions and it continues. I don't see a big difference than I did during the Vietnam War. I've been around for a while. And the current war in Iraq, I don't see much difference between that and the war that happened in Vietnam. I mean, when you look at it, we were sold the same bill of goods, basically. You follow me? But people followed along. It's basically a fear-based philosophy that manipulates people. You have to create an enemy. You always have to have an enemy. Now, I know that I'm not trying to get into a political thing. That's not my point. I'm just making this as a point of how easily people can fall prey to, let's just say, public opinion. And this is another block, and this is a serious one.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting about this is that history does seem to support your claim, because if a people generally are conscious that they're conscious and they're not full of fear, they're aware of who they are and the fact that they're not really this physical lump of calcium and protein and water, they're not easily controllable by governments or religions. And so the idea is to train that out of the people so they are controllable.
Well, that's the whole purpose. That's why the Christian church and Islam has been so incredibly, and whether you like it or not, I mean, let's face it, they have been very successful. They each have over a billion followers. and how do they do it? You know, the old carrot and stick works. It's, you know, and the carrot is heaven, this nebulous idea of heaven, which of course is highly inaccurate, but doesn't matter. That's all people know. And then the old stick of hell. I mean, it's a manipulative thing, unfortunately. That's the beauty of OBEs. And now let me make a switch here for a moment. The power of OBEs is the power of experience, expanding your experience so you're no longer a pawn of belief systems, not only political belief systems, but religious belief systems, all belief systems. In other words, you can verify your own immortality. You leave your body and a whole new door opens. You no longer have to believe in heaven. You can go and experience it. You no longer have to believe in this or that. You no longer have to have faith. You go out there and become an explorer. You verify it. And you also verify the falsehoods. It's very powerful.
Well, that sounds enlightening. It would seem to me that a people that mastered this, when the call to charge across the frozen tundra at the other enemy is made, when the charge takes place, there's only one set of footprints in the frost. People just are not going to follow when they realize that that there's a lot more to it than real estate.
Well, the whole idea is to gain more knowledge of yourself. And let's face it, the vast majority of humanity have no idea where they come from. They have no idea where they're going. They have no idea what their purpose is, why they're here. I mean, these are the principal, the primary questions we have to answer as consciousness on this planet. Each of us individually, this is the burning questions. Not all this bull that you hear in the media. I mean, how can you make a decision about anything when you don't even know where you come from and what you are and where you're going? Think about it. That is incredibly, it's almost like insanity. I mean, really, it is a state of total, not almost, it is. The 6.5 billion people, and very few, have a clue where we're going. In other words, death is still the great mystery. I mean, even as simple as that, nobody, very few people on this planet have a clue. What is the process of death? What happens at that instant? And what happens at the instant of birth? Where did we come from?
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, these are the big questions. These are not all this other bull that you hear. These are the big ones.
Absolutely.
And OBEs give people an opportunity to experience the answers because from personal experience. And that's powerful.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the OBE as a real experience. The OBE is just as though the person was really there. They really are there. Is it possible to feel pain in the out-of-body experience?
We have another caller line, too.
All right, well, yeah, we do have a caller. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Bob from Arkansas.
Hi, Bob. Welcome to the program.
All right, thanks. Hey, you know, oddly enough, I think that I had this experience way back '67, just briefly. And here again, about 2.5 months ago, I had what I believe 3 of them. But I wanted to ask your guest if this is a similar story from the people that he knows. What I'm seeing is a very dark place with the water. It seems to be boiling, and the sun's not really out. And the buildings and everything seem to be very low powered electricity, and a lot of military running around. I've had this 3 times within about 5 days, about 2.5 months ago.
everybody's experience is a little bit different. Your description of an experience isn't anything like what I've experienced. But that, I'm not saying that's not valid. I'm just saying it's nothing like mine in many ways. That what you may have experienced, again, did you feel that you were separated from your body? Did you feel you were in, could you sense that
yes.
you had a body during the experience?
I was weightless to the point of like possibly about 30% of the gravity weight of normal. And so it was difficult for me to move very quickly in this world. And I'm not sure if it was here or if it was in the near future or something, but it was pretty stunning. It happened 3 times over about 5 nights. And, well, it's fresh on my mind.
Well, I would say, you know, it could be. It's difficult for me to analyze your experience because there's so many different ways that this experience can manifest for each individual. What I would recommend doing for now on when you have an experience is to repeat an affirmation to yourself of awareness now. Bring more consciousness into your body, into your being. And so you will be more aware of your surroundings. And you will be able to analyze the situation a little bit better. And then you can judge it for yourself, because that's really what's important here.
Well, in the third time there, I was able to hitch a short ride on a naval vessel. And it was down a canal. And like I said, the water was boiling. I hitched a ride on the back deck, and she got up to about 50 knots real quick, and we went approximately a mile and a half down the canal, pulled up to another dock, and I followed about a dozen sailors into a building. And like I said, I was kind of weightless, so I kind of crept up to the ceiling, and I was watching everybody sandwich into this little room with glass. After everybody got in there, the door shut and everybody got sprayed. Being decontaminated or something.
I see. That sounds to me very much like you may have had sometimes when you have an out-of-body experience, you have a tendency to go into a past life. You may have experienced, it almost sounds like a World War II or Vietnam kind of experience. You may have had an experience out of body, and we have a tendency to go to, let's just say, past experiences that are unresolved or that have a strong pull on you now. This is quite common.
Well,
I've had many experiences where I found myself as a German soldier during World War II. That sounds like what may be happening here.
At Brooks, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I'm the rainbow guy.
Oh, the rainbow guy, yeah.
Yeah, I've been back to listening to you. My strength has come back to me. You know, that was about 18 months ago. I've been rather weak throughout this whole past year and a half, with the exception of the last few weeks, is I seem to be, like I say to my wife, that my blood's getting strong again. Yeah.
Well, that's good. We're glad to have you back.
Yeah, it's good hearing your show.
Well, thank you for your question.
Yes, thank you for the call.
Yeah, Bob. I'm gonna get off of here and I'm gonna listen to the rest of the program, guys. Thanks a bunch.
All right, thanks, Bob.
You bet. Bye.
William, I had another question when we were talking.
Yeah, I'd like to add on this the question that he just brought up.
Oh yeah.
People have questions about their experiences, they should learn more about this subject. I mean, through the internet or through books, but they really. knowledge is power. I mean, you really should try to find a good source of information.
You have a good website. You've got astralinfo.org, and we highly recommend that during the program, while you're listening at your workstation next week, if you're listening to this program, just click onto that website, order the books and CDs and DVDs, and try to bring yourself a new knowledge base on the subject. It's a great resource.
Yeah, it's important to really gain as much, because this is a very broad topic that we'll be exploring tonight. It covers a lot more territory than many people realize.
Well, if we're not limited to Earth and we're not limited to this galaxy, I could see that it would be a very broad subject. And my question was, when I asked you, is it possible to feel pain in an OBE? You talk to women who have had gone through, say, childbirth, and you ask them to remember the pain. It's difficult to do. I mean, if you hit your little finger with a hammer and you heal from it years later, it's hard to go back and really remember what the pain was like on your finger. But is there a way to bring back a painful experience from an OBE?
Well, generally that doesn't occur. We edit these kind of traumas that we normally have. Now, to answer your question, yes, you can feel during an OBE, but in general, that's one of the questions I've asked people over the years about senses, and the most prevalent senses are sight. That is the number one. That seems to be very acute. Again, it depends on the individual. Some people lean to different. The more a feeling sense, but most people their sense of sight is quite strong, where some of the other senses and sound is quite strong. But feeling, our interpretation of feeling, of course, is either emotional or physical based. And when you leave your body, of course, you don't have a physical body, so that is actually changed. Your mind is actually creating. You don't have eyes either, and many people forget that all of your senses are created by your mind when you have an OBE, same as it is when you have an altered state of consciousness. And that will determine how acute each of your senses is, and you can actually enhance different senses if you choose to. And I go into this in my book about keys to control, about how to enhance different perception levels.
Wow. Well, is it common to hear people report that they hear singing while having an OBE, or music?
Yeah, music is different kinds of sounds are reported widely. The voices are heard is very common. I believe it's 46% of people, I believe, report some kind of voice of some kind. It may be the sound of your mother's voice. It could be your father's voice. The most common is your mother's voice, by the way. Now, why that is, I don't really know, but that's based on my research. Many people will hear their name called by their mother. I've heard that on many occasions. And maybe it's because it's your mother is perceived as non-threatening. That could be one explanation. But many people hear different kinds of music. They hear tones. They hear bells. They hear all kinds of, during the vibrational state, of course, which is something we really have to talk about. The vibrational state, of course, can be just absolutely explosive with sounds, engine noises.
Well, I know if I heard my mother's voice and she used my middle name, I'd be in trouble. is it possible to feel love while you're having these OBEs?
Yes, absolutely. And people also, or many people report sexual type experiences during OBE, especially if they're still in their physical, or what I call their energy body, their denser energy body. It's very physical-like experiences.
Huh.
This is very commonly reported. Again, it's not sex in the term that we would think of it, but it's a very emotionally intense connection.
Right.
Much more intense than in the physical world, because it's like a melding. And many people have reported this. That's another chapter I had to I was going to put in one of my books and didn't have room for it.
I have to write another book. That's what happens with us. We end up with 29 chapters instead of 21, and so that means
my publisher's Harper, and they're pretty stringent on page count.
So is it possible then, since these emotions are very intense, is it possible to feel fear during an OBE?
Absolutely. That's one of the big blocks. Many people feel waves of fear, especially at the beginning, during the initial phases of the experience, because a lot of this, let's face it, most people are not educated about this subject. And the first thing they may experience during an OBE is paralysis. And of course, the next thing they're going to feel is fear, because they feel like they're out of control. They don't understand what's happening. And then a wave of fear hits them, which of course is a very restrictive negative emotion, and that blocks the experience from happening, from occurring or developing. So many people in the initial phases of an OBE, which is what I call the vibrational state, they will experience all kinds of levels of fear, because it's just so many new things are happening, and probably many of your listeners may have experienced these things, vibrations, sounds. It sounds like maybe you're in a jet engine, your body is paralyzed. There's many different symptoms of the vibrational state. And most of them are to be, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it, for many people they're quite scary because they haven't been educated about the topic. And they equate something negative is happening. But it's actually, I found over many, many years that that's all just part of the separation process. And that's a difficult thing for some people to really comprehend.
Oh, I can imagine. I know.
Well, we're so tied to it. Remember, our entire identity is around this physical hunk of flesh. And it's all that it is. It's just a hunk of flesh. It's not who we are. But yet, our entire identity is that. So any indication of leaving that is in our culture is equated with death. So, of course, people are going to freak out. And now that's changing. I've been talking about this for a long time, my 20 years, and I try to explain to people that's not this normal process. And the vibrational state is an intense experience for many people. And many people, there's no getting around it. That's what the vibrational state is, the onset of an OBE. And paralysis is what's probably the biggest scary part. And the noises. The strange engine noises and I write about this. I call it, it's like being in a jet engine. But it only lasts for a few seconds during the initial phase. But many people linger in this state because they're so fearful.
You know, I think I've actually heard that coming on. I've been there, in a quasi state of meditation and a quiet environment. And I'll hear something that sounds like it almost shocks you awake. It's a really, it's like a buzz, but it's like a jet too, and it comes right on you, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're flying, you're out there.
Yeah,
it's a really immediate change in status.
Oh yeah, it's a serious shift of consciousness is what's happening. Some people experience like a gunshot at their head, it feels like. I've had that several times.
Wow.
Now, and some of these things are difficult to handle because they are shocking. A lot of people feel it's the opening of a chakra. For instance, the third eye may open, or the next chakra, the crown. One of the higher chakras may just open. Now, again, I'm just saying that's what many people feel that these sounds are coming from. But the point is, they do occur in the real world. I've gotten reports from 17,000 people that claim these kind of vibrational state experiences. So approximately 75 to 80% of people will have some form of vibrational state phenomena as a prelude or aftermath.
Well,
that's why it's important to know about this subject.
As we set up for our next hour, I want to get really into that in the second hour, this difference in vibration. I want to talk about, as we lay the foundation for this, just the physical world, just the physical beings, the 3D beings that we hear on the earth. It doesn't really escape too many people's observation that there are dark people and that there are people of light. There's just a difference in their energy. Is this the vibration level that you're talking about? Is this the aura, the resonance of the person?
Yes. It's the energy level of the individual.
Now,
and unfortunately, in the physical world, there's a lot of lower vibratory individuals, because that's what this planet is for. This is, everybody talks about heaven and all. In a way, the physical world, and this may be shocking to some people, but the physical world is like the filter.
it's literally the filter.
It
definitely limits us on what we can actually sense.
Well, it's not only that. It's like those that remain in the animal senses will remain in the physical world. They will continue to incarnate, because you cannot enter the higher vibratory realms until you have evolved beyond the, let's just say, the cruder senses. Call it what you will, call it evolution, call it, I hate the word spiritual advancement, because that's nebulous. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the people that are obviously doing harm to other people will continue to incarnate in the physical world in general. Now, because they are not fit to be in the higher realms of the universe. So that's why I'm using this phrase, like a filter.
You meant when you said consciousness uses physical form for evolution.
Yes. It's a training ground. This is a harsh training ground. It's a thought-created reality, but it's a slowed-down molecular reality.
Well, maybe we might be jumping the gun a little bit into the third hour, but we could certainly lay a foundation. What thoughts create this reality?
All focused thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Thoughts create reality.
So
and that's where people, I don't, it's no secret to it. I mean, and it begins as a thought form. As you focus on any one thing, let's just say you want a car. As you focus on your need or desire for a car, you will begin to create a thought form on the astral plane. And then that thought form will take form on the etheric plane, which is the parallel world. This is an energy form, and with continued thought reinforcement. And I write about this in Secret of the Soul, in the chapter called Path to the Soul. As we continue to focus on any, and it doesn't matter what the desire is, you will begin to create an energy form. And as you continue to reinforce it, it will begin to take three-dimensional form on the astral, the lower astral plane, the dense astral plane. First, it may look like a cloud of energy, a gray cloud is what and you can see these when you leave your body. They're very strange looking, because a lot of them are half-formed.
Wow.
And this is the creation process. We are all individually and collectively building our future on the lower astral plane. And as, unfortunately, most people don't realize that, so they don't know how to focus this creative ability that all of us possess. So they think about it for a moment, and then they go on to something else. This, of course, doesn't create anything. You have to continue to focus on it. That's why this vision board idea works, because you begin to focus daily on one thing. And as you do that, you create the thought. The astral plane and the etheric plane are the substructure of matter. And as you begin to form that thought form, you begin to mold it with your thoughts. And eventually it takes three-dimensional form. And with continued reinforcement, it must become matter. And that is how this is how reality is created in the physical world. But unfortunately, people don't connect the dots because the process for most people is rather slow. Because they don't know how to focus their imagination and their consciousness.
Well, do you think unfocused, selfish, passionate thoughts add to the creative mix of this physical world?
Everything adds to it. All thoughts add to it. Everything that we're thinking about collectively and individually, we're all surrounded by thought forms. Every listener out there is surrounded by their own thought forms. Most of them are vague outlines of energy that they haven't, let's say, devoted enough energy to. And they're just potential creations waiting to occur. And only those that are dedicated to a certain idea, well, they are the ones that take finally into three-dimensional form and matter.
Sounds like there are a lot of unfinished manifestations out there.
Most of the creations are unfinished. It's countless billions of them. There are potential realities that are in formation. And this is also true of collective national group consciousness is also done this way. It gets fascinating because you can, during an out-of-body experience, you can actually see these things, and it's sometimes quite shocking.
Mm. So, it's possible to have an interaction between the OBE person and maybe the person who's being visited, who's actually conscious, or I should say not sleeping or not having an OBE, there's actually interaction between the two beings.
When you communicate, when I have an OBE and I try to talk to someone, communicate with someone, let's say, that is, let's just say, lying in bed, sleeping, they may remember that as a dream because I will be talking, I will be communicating with their astral, their lower astral body,
uh-huh,
or their etheric body. Follow me. And they will only remember that as a dream. This is the way that many times guides influence people. Same kind of format.
I gotcha.
They will work with people when they're open, and most people, unfortunately, are closed during their waking consciousness. And as they fall to sleep, they become more open. And this is when a lot of work is done in general. I mean, this has been true forever. I mean, and I'm looking at this as a positive. In other words, our guides may assist us just with ideas. I'm not saying a manipulative kind of way. I'm saying it only as a positive way, as a, let's just say, little bit of guidance here and there. Remember that the old story, sleep on it, and suddenly you wake up and you have the answer. It's the old cultural truism. But there's a lot of truth to that. Because we do receive guidance.
I often work on machines and things throughout the night. Wake up in the morning and I have the answer. So I don't know if that's an OBE or if I'm just continuing to work while I'm sleeping. So I guess the point I'm trying to make as we get to the top of the hour, we have about 1 minute left before a commercial break, there is the ability then to actually affect the energy in the place and time to which we travel, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's going to be good as we get to our second hour. Oh, my gosh, we have a lot to talk about. This is very, very cool. William Buhlman is my guest. His website is astralinfo.org. And remember that his book is called Secret of the Soul, and his other book is Adventures... I wrote it down here.
Beyond the Body, right.
I'll get that right. We're going to take about 3 minutes of commercials, and then we'll be right back with more of William Buhlman. So please don't go anywhere, and stay tuned. We'll be back after about 3 minutes of commercials. Foundations of Religion and Science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit the presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have the tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. If you have survived a disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. Have you ever thought about owning a telescope? I mean a really good telescope. Well, at the Discovery Store, you can find the world's best telescopes at great discounts and free shipping. They've come a long way, you know. Most of the comets discovered in the last 50 years were found by amateurs. There is no better way to view the sun than with a coronoscope. Trust me, you will be captivated if you ever get to watch the sun through one of these units. Who knows? You might just save the planet. So plan a trip to the Discovery Store at X Square Radio. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio. Welcome back to X Squared Radio. We're glad you're with us. We're coming to you live from Eastern Washington State. It's a lot warmer today than it has been. A little bit overcast, but at least it's above freezing. And we're glad you're here with us. Internet radio is coming a long way. We're coming of age at BBS Radio. We are also a member of Steel Eye Media Network, and we're glad that that they're airing our program now. Just wanted to let you know a little bit about NitroPak. You heard the commercial. There have been quite a few what appear to be preparatory earthquakes recently, and we want to make sure that you know that NitroPak is out there. If you'll go to x2-radio.com and click on the NitroPak banner, check it out. They've got everything, 72-hour kits. They've got water purification systems, everything that you need to try to or to help you get through a disaster. So if you run out of food or run out of water during a catastrophe, nothing can be more disconcerting than not being able to provide for yourself. And if you'll just take a little bit of time in advance while times are good and put a little bit back, you'll be prepared for those cataclysms. I also wanted to give you an update on the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition. We are still working on that as hard as we can. The team is coming together, though. We have about 39 participants now, and that's getting stronger. We have Stanford University, we have Harvard University, and we also have Washington University experts who have now joined the scientific team. So those parts are coming together, and we're quite pleased with that. And we want to make sure that that you're aware that all of that is coming together. We do have about 8 months to finish the funding side of things, and hopefully that will come together for us, and we'll be able to conduct that expedition. Just taking care of one little technical thing here as we move forward. Concerns about food security mounted on Thursday as rice prices hit records in Asia and the United Nations warned that staples for the world's hungry were getting much more expensive. Although we won't see shortages in the U.S., the prices will continue to go up. Rice prices hit record highs in Thailand and in electronic trading of Chicago Board and Trade futures during Asian trading hours. This week's 5% jump in Thailand rice takes prices to $1,000 a ton, nearly triple their level at the start of the year, intensifying fears of social unrest in Asia. Even Walmart is limiting the amount of rice for a single purchase for the first time in its history. Rice prices on the CBOT are up about 80% this year, hitting a record of more than 2,500 per hundredweight in Asian trading hours, and then retreating in Chicago on profit-taking. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are investors out there who gamble billions of dollars on food prices, and now they're making money big time. So I wanted to keep you aware of that, just so that you know what's going on out there. Our guest tonight is William Buhlman. In our last hour, we were talking about how our conscious thoughts might be managed to help us become more aware of the non-physical world around us, and even perhaps out there somewhere. My question for you this hour as we begin, William, is does our environment affect how adept we might become at OBE travel?
Well, yes. You need a quiet environment. I mean, you need it's very much a meditative state of consciousness in many ways. So, yes. I mean, you have to create an environment that's peaceful and, like I always tell people, select a. And I call it an exploration area. It could be something as simple as your sofa. But have that as your designated area to explore out-of-body experiences. And then turn off the phone. Do a technique once a day for 60 days. They're very simple, but do it. That's the key. Because you have to retrain. You know, the old saying, it takes 21 days to create a new habit. For many of us, it takes longer than that, but that's a good starting point. So it takes daily repetition of some of the techniques that I write about to initiate these experiences. And you have to have a peaceful base to do this from, I think. There's just no getting around it. You have to be able to go into an altered state of consciousness, essentially. And that is the first step. If you can't get relaxed, you're going to have nothing will go from there. That's the baseline. So, yes, your environment does definitely affect your experiences. I've been blessed that I've been in nice, quiet environments for most of my life. But I've created that. So that's really helped me in my explorations. And I go into this in my books quite a bit about what's required, what you should do. And, of course, I have over 50 different methods to initiate an out-of-body experience because the people literally will, different people will gravitate, resonate with different techniques.
Right. Well, I mean, we are conscious beings and we're having this mortal experience. As we are creating our own environment by our own outlook on life and our relationships with others. So is there an energy or a vibrational level that we might develop that can enhance our traveling?
Well, the first step, you have to, this is a process. The first thing that I teach people is just to relax, to get into a deep, relaxed state in my workshops, which I do all over the world. I'm a trained hypnotherapist. I do group hypnosis in my workshops. And I try to the best of my ability to get everybody in my workshop, totally relaxed to the point where they will even go to sleep. And, that's the first step. And then, you begin to work on your, let's just say, and can I share one real quickly with you?
Oh, yeah, sure, by all means.
One is there's various techniques available. I mean, some of them are 1,000 years old and older. I mean, they go back way back. But let me share one, a modern one. It's simply the target technique. This is actually a technique that's evolved from the Golden Dawn from England, where you select three targets. And let's just say you're in you have your exploration area on the sofa. You select three objects in someone else's home or in another part of your home. Let's just say your bedroom. It could be your curtains, a chair, and the board of your bed, let's say. And you imagine yourself as you're laying on the sofa, becoming deeper and deeper relaxed. You imagine yourself walking, moving to the headboard, then to the drapes. Feel them, touch them. Feel yourself present there. And hold this as your last conscious thought. Then go to the third target, whatever it may be. Again, you feel that. You touch it. You feel yourself walking around the object. You allow yourself to be there. And you hold that as your last conscious thought. As you are falling, let's just say, drifting to sleep, for lack of a better word. And there's an old saying, where our mind goes, so we must follow. And this is very true in out-of-body exploration. If you focus your attention at a remote location and hold it as your last conscious thought, there is a tendency, again, this is just one technique, there is a tendency for that to help to initiate the onset of an out-of-body experience. It doesn't mean you're going to go to the target. Often it will initiate what I call the vibrational state. You'll suddenly feel the vibrations. You'll feel sounds. You'll begin to feel paralyzed. All of this is a prelude to an out-of-body experience. And the target technique, most OBE techniques will initiate the process of separation. And for approximately 75% of people, that means that it will initiate the vibrational state. And that, so this is a big misnomer. Many people do these techniques and think that's like a Shirley MacLaine type of experience. They're going to pop out of their body. This is totally false. Based on my research, that can happen. I'm not saying it can, but that is a minority of experiences. Approximately 20% of people find themselves going through the bed into the basement of their house, going down. Another 20% will begin to feel themselves rolling sideways, and often they'll feel like they're falling out of bed. In other words, the airy-fairy, let's just say cliche attached to OBEs is totally false. Now, there are approximately 25% of people will float up. But that, again, and most people will, some people sit up. Generally, in the beginning, I was sitting up, literally sitting in my body. My top of my body would sit up. And then I would have to pull myself out of body.
How about that?
This is the real experience, the real world experiences. It's not at all the, oh, look at me, I'm like a little butterfly floating up. It's not that, I wish it was that simple. It's not. Many times you'll find yourself stuck in your body. It's what it feels like. You feel like you are attached because you are. You're still energetically attached, and you have to, in the beginning, begin to, what I tell people to do is sometimes grab something and pull yourself out of body.
Right. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Lyle from Indianapolis, Indiana. Good evening, Dr. Agnew, and good evening, Mr. Bowman.
Hello. Hi, Lyle. Welcome to the program.
Well, I just wanted to say that a lot of things that Mr. Bowman is talking about, I have read part of that from Edgar Cayce. And he had stated that all things that come into the material world start in the spirit to materialize in the physical world. And, Edgar Cayce is a source for a lot of things. I mean, he's one of the best psychics or being able to tune into the universal mind, anybody that I have come across so far.
Well, no argument here, Lyle. Let me ask you a question. Do you think then, since everything that's in the material world came from the spirit or spiritual realm, do you think it's possible to go from the physical back or reach back into the spiritual or the ethereal realm from here?
I think so, but I think it's harder because I think that everybody that's here on Earth, we're here to learn lessons. And from what I can gather from the readings that I've done in different books and listening to different people, there's a veil put up on purpose because if we knew it was coming, then it wouldn't be a surprise and we wouldn't learn the lessons. We're here to learn the lessons with that veil to, choose the path that we'll go down and hopefully learn the lessons, review or contemplate on what we have done to see try to learn the lessons and review our life and see what lessons that we've learned. But if you don't review, then you may not be aware of the lessons that are the things that you've overcome. And, add that to your development of your soul or being.
Well, that's a point well taken. How do you resolve the idea of the veil, William?
Well, the veil, I call it the energy membrane or the membrane separating each dimension. There's many different dimensions, and each one is separated by an energy membrane. And it's the same concept, the veil. I just use a different term. we all have the ability to move through that veil, but it does take effort on our part. And I agree with the caller that most people, it's a difficult endeavor because they are so conditioned. But it is possible to do it if we're motivated enough and we have the proper tools to do it. Let's face it, that's one of the purposes of monks going into meditation. And, you know, we hear these stories of monks being in meditation for weeks, and the one young man was in meditation for over a year without moving. I mean, do you think he was still in his physical body all that time? I find that, you know, a lot of people throughout history have moved beyond the veil, including Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce is an example. He's called the Sleeping Prophet. Edgar Cayce certainly moved beyond it. And, you know, like Jesus said, what I have done, you will do greater. I think we all have that ability innately to move and explore. Now, that doesn't negate the importance of our earthly journey here. Because, again, I agree with the caller that we have lessons that we have to confront and resolve here. But for many of us, that also means that once we have the tools, part of our lesson may be to learn to go beyond this veil. Because this isn't, and we can talk about this maybe in the last hour, but I consider this to be highly important to our overall evolution beyond. Because once we die, we're in another dimension, and there's another veil that has to be encountered. In other words, there's another member. We have to, as we move inward into the universe, we have to learn to go beyond each energy level, or we become stagnant. And that's the core of, I think, spiritual evolution, is to move inward beyond form-based realities.
Mr. Bullman, I had a question for you. What I'm going to ask is, is it easier, the more open-minded you are, to experience the OBE experience, and does that have anything with advancing through the different levels at a quicker pace?
You know, that's difficult to answer, because I have been surprised throughout the years. No one can judge the development of another person. I do believe that certain people have had training in past lives. A good example is Robert Monroe, who has, they're naturally adept at leaving their body and going beyond the physical realm. Another example, of course, is Edgar Cayce. He probably had many past lives. It just doesn't develop in one lifetime. No more than Mozart's ability to create symphonies at the age of five developed at that instant. He had past lives where he has done the same type of thing, and he carried that ability over. And so I do feel we are carrying that. And yes, it is a cumulative effect, and people, the more knowledge we gain, the more, I think, and the more open we become, and the less fear-based we become, the faster we can progress.
Well, I think that's the
important part.
Let me inject here, though, Lyle. You asked the question about open-mindedness. I have met people who were very open-minded and yet could not get past their fears. They couldn't get their vibrational level
exactly
to the point where they could accept anything beyond the dogma with which they've been saddled. In a sense, they were very primitive beings, even though they were, in a sense, very open-minded. So I think there's more to it than just your willingness to do it.
Well, that's what I was alluding to. Fear is ingrained so heavily in many people, especially if you're an avid believer in Satan and devils and hell. And if you've incorporated this throughout your entire life into your belief system, what are the chances of you being able to leave your physical body? Think about it. You are subconsciously going to be too inhibited and fearful. And that's what's going to hurt that individual. He may be open-minded. He thinks he's open-minded. But his own fear-based beliefs that he's attached himself to will still anchor him to the physical world.
Well, that's one of the things that I don't say that there. I do believe that there's negative energy just like there's positive. It's the yin and the yang. But the thing is, you're correct, to have that fear is keeping us pinned in, and that fear is generated by our government, the things that we do in our lives, you know, so that it kind of influences us, and the thing is to overcome that fear.
Our parents, our churches, our schools, sure, you bet.
Yeah, and, but, you know, going back to Edgar Cayce for a little bit, I think the things that are getting ready to come to Earth in the effect of Earth changes and other things that are going to affect us, I think that's the key, because maybe it wasn't Edgar Cayce, or there may have been another one that I read that said that, you know, we're going to undergo so many changes and so many drastic changes that we're just going to start to pray to the higher being, and I think at that point we may all make the connection again through that prayer to the supreme being.
Well, remember Edgar Cayce's own writings in his conscious life. He actually quit doing the readings for a while because the things that were being revealed as he went out of body were actually counter to the dogma that he had learned in his religious life as an adult man. So he too came to loggerheads in conflict with what he was really getting out there astrally traveling, or getting his messages from beyond, and what he had been taught as a boy was true, you know, from the Bible. He later resolved it, but he still had that conflict and had to resolve it.
Yeah, I do remember that, because he had made mention of some of the, he thought that all the stories in the Bible were real, and he said, some of them were just the proof to explain a particular point, and they weren't all true. They were made to show a point. And that's the issue. Some people believe that everything in the Bible is real, and people don't remember that there was the Council of Nicaea that excluded some books. If they were all divinely inspired, then they should have all made it in.
Well, yeah, many books were excluded.
There's only
four apostles that are in the Bible. Some of the apostles, at the meeting of Nicaea, they didn't like what some of the other apostles said about Jesus. They made him appear too human, so they had to be excluded. I mean, that was the biggest exclusion. If anything that's portrayed Jesus as a human, as a regular guy, was excluded, basically.
Right.
It's sad, really.
I guess the most frightening thing about the dogma of religion is, sure, they believe everything in the Bible is real, but what's worse is they believe everything that's not in the Bible is not real.
Right. All right, well, thank you for your time, Dr. Agnew and Mr. Bowman. It's been a pleasure.
Lyle, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Say hello to my Hoosier friends out there in Indiana.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Okay, William, let's get back to this vibrational level, because I think we're really on to something here. Let's assume that a person has an average vibrational level that's common for us as individuals. Can we actually raise our vibrational level while still in this life?
Oh, absolutely, we can. And people do it. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're here.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Very good question. But it's a tricky answer because it's, many people feel when they go to church and they latch onto these belief systems, and I'm not trying to be negative about any belief system. I'm just using them in general. It doesn't matter, Hindu, Buddhist, it doesn't matter. They attach themselves to a preset belief system. And they feel in their mind that by adhering and following every little nuance of that dogma, that they are somehow increasing their vibrational rate. And, of course, many people feel that way. That's why, let's face it, the born-again Christians all think that they're the chosen people. They're going to the Hebrews, they all think they're the chosen people. The Islam, they're the chosen people. You follow me? I mean, everybody, and it's the problem is it gets to the point of self-delusion. It's not about, they're not increasing their vibration rate because they're not, the key element has been missing in our, since really for the last 2,000 years in many ways. And that is, there's this adherence to dogma and beliefs, and we've lost the core issue of having your own spiritual experiences. You know, Jesus was a spiritual explorer. Muhammad was a spiritual explorer. Whether you like him or don't, but he had some wild experiences in the Quran. He left his body and talks about going through seven dimensions of reality. I mean, the night journey, that's what it is. Buddha, of course, had all kinds of adventures. Hinduism calls it, but unfortunately in our modern society, people are no longer pursuing their own spiritual experiences. I'm using that term widely, spiritual, inner experiences. They've lost that. They're so obsessed with belief systems and trying to adhere to some 2,000-year-old belief that they've lost the purpose of it. Jesus was a spiritual adventurer, an explorer. I mean, so were all the great leaders. That's what made them great. It wasn't that, you know, people forget that Jesus was an enemy of the establishment at the time. That's why he was crucified. He was, the Pharisees had to eliminate him. He was a problem. And the same as went down through history. He bucked the system and he had to be eliminated. And unfortunately, that's been lost. And now when people try to say something against the existing dogma, they're immediately, they're a wacko. I'll give you an example. I was in California doing one of my Learning Annex events, and I was picketed by a large group of New Age, born-again Christians.
Cool.
I mean, it was unbelievable. This is in the most, I thought, was the liberal capital of America. And I'm being picketed, for God's sake, with the devil's work banners, and they had to bring in the police. My point is, do you think any of these people have read any of my books? Of course not. They didn't like the subject I was teaching. They don't understand it. My point is people lost the spirit of exploration, of inner exploration. And now they've settled into this, well, a spiritual experience is going to church once a week. That is not a spiritual experience. That's a community experience, yes. It may be a feel-good experience, but it's not a spiritual adventure or experience for most people. You know, most people don't have a profound spiritual experience in church. Let's face it. The men are falling asleep.
I can tell you this. If you're going to church every single Sunday, and it's been more than a year since you've had a spiritual experience, try something else. If you're not having regular spiritual experiences doing what you're doing, try something else.
And also, what is a spiritual? See, that's another thing. Everybody talks about a spiritual experience. What is it? Is it an emotional? Many in our
many churches think it's nothing more than a whipping up the emotions of the congregation.
Oh, yeah.
That is not a spiritual experience. We've seen it on YouTube quite a bit lately. Whipping up the congregation.
Yeah.
To have an emotional high. And then they think they've had an experience. That is not a spiritual experience. That's an emotional experience.
Yeah.
It's far from spiritual.
I've seen the same thing in the aisles of the Forum during a Led Zeppelin concert, okay? It's not a spiritual experience.
No.
Dead right. What I mean by
this is an important difference that is overlooked in our culture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What I mean by a spiritual experience is that you have sensed and really have had a shift upward in your vibration, in your frequency. You've shifted upward. Your vibration has been raised. That is a spiritual experience, to be sure.
But that, I tell you, that the entire concept is totally lost in our society today. And that's what I find so sad. I really do. Sometimes it just, you know, it's almost insanity that now when anybody talks about it, everything relates to words in a book. And, you know, this is a term I've used for 3 decades. You know, the map is not the territory. Books are all maps.
Right.
We have to give up the maps and enter the territory, for God's sake. So many people are addicted. They go from map to map, from book to book. You know what I mean.
Sure.
What's the hot book this year? Now it's the secret. Every year it's a new hot one. Have you read this book? You know, and it goes on and on and on. But people forget they're not having their own experiences. They're just, and that is what's been lost in our culture. And that's what I try to teach in my books, is how to have your own profound experience. And
well,
I'm talking about mind-blowing experience.
There is something amazing happening, though, because as people's vibration levels raise, as they become more adept at these OBEs, they're not just visiting themselves, they're visiting other people. They're even visiting other worlds and other times. So my question is, can we send our frequency to another person without actually speaking to them or even being physically in the same room with them while you're astrally traveling?
Yes. Of course you can. You can send, because thoughts have no limit. You can
send, and they're instantaneous, right?
Absolutely. You send love to the planet, and you do so. I mean, you send love to a loved one or whatever. You can send energy to all your listeners. I mean, there's no limit to this. Just because you can't see it happening doesn't mean it doesn't have an impact.
Right. But I mean, if it gets enough constructive interference, you will be able to see it happening.
You can see it happening during an OBE. You can see energy interchange. Depending on your energy level during an OBE, it's fascinating. I write about this in Secret of the Soul, of how you can direct energy during an OBE.
Nice. So we are.
This is an important part of Secret of the Soul in the chapter called Path to the Soul.
All right, well, let's take the caller. Caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Dale from upstate New York.
Hi, Dale. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. First, I'd like to relate my brother-in-law's out-of-body experience to you guys.
Okay.
If you want to hear it.
Sure.
I haven't spoken to him in some years, but... he had told me at one time that he had several of these. He said that his first one was quite a surprise because he didn't expect to have it. He was asleep in bed and just happened to wake up and realized he's looking down at his own body. And that one was about it. Next thing you know, he's back in his body. The one that was most impressive to me was he had one in which he felt or said he was actually in the center of the universe, light years away from here.
Wow.
The thing about the eyesight, he said his vision was clear and crisp, and he's almost technically blind now. but he could see every star. He could perceive things that we can't even discuss in our mortal form. And he realized somehow he was still attached to his body by some kind of cord. I was wondering if William could comment on that.
Sure, absolutely. That's a fascinating experience. Now, the whole idea of what is in the Bible, of course, this is called the silver cord. That's where the term comes from. And they talk about this in some detail. But during an OBE, many people feel, now this is actually a controversial subject, because some people feel it's a mental construct and some people don't. I have personally experienced it. It was 1 inch diameter coming from the back of, between my shoulder blades, just in, I would say about 4 vertebrae down from the base of my, top of my head. And it was a 1 inch diameter energy tube. Now, this is because I was in my denser energy body. Based on the research I've done, and the cord appears to be attached to our densest energy body. It's not attached to our soul. As many people have this almost childish idea of what we are, like we're a body and soul. We're much more complex beings than this. We're far more complex, and our etheric body or our parallel energy body is what the cord is attached to. And when we leave our body, this is an energy conduit between our higher bodies and our energy body, bringing energy into the physical form. That's how I perceive this. And I've also seen it on other people, and I've seen it on animals. But it's this form, or this energy tube, whatever you want to call it, or silver cord, is, of course, can stretch unlimited amount. But it's only in your denser energy body, your etheric body, where you experience it. Once you move to your astral body, it's no longer there. Again, this is my perception of this. And our higher bodies, once you get beyond the astral, you don't experience it. So I would, based on that, I would say that your brother-in-law,
yes,
was probably in that particular energy body, and that's why he perceived this cord. Now, as far as his perception, our normal perception when you go out of body and you, let's just say prolong your experience and begin to gain control of it, you quickly find that your vision is 360 degrees. It's amazing. The enhancement is incredible. It's beyond my ability to express. And your ability to perceive is unlimited. It's limited only by your own self-conception. And that's what gets so fascinating. So obviously, I would say that your brother-in-law has had past incarnations. If he's spontaneously having experiences like that, he has had some training in the past. He has
right.
already been trained. Maybe in a past life he was a monk of some kind. I don't know. But I would say definitely he has a natural tendency to have these experiences. And with a little bit of, let's just say, self-direction, he could probably begin to have them again and carry them even much further. So that's, thanks for sharing that experience. It's really, incredible.
Well, here's the kicker about his situation. He's pretty much, very ingrained into the basic Protestant Christian beliefs.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how he reconciled. We never discussed that aspect very much, but yet he has out-of-body experiences. And here's another situation he's had. He and a friend of his, and he's told me this story several times, were sitting on their front porch discussing, of all things, UFOs, and they were saying, well, wouldn't it be great to see a UFO? And sure enough, he says, one showed up and flew right across the riverfront where he lived, and they watched it for at least 10 minutes. What do you think of that?
Well, thoughts create reality. That's what I think. That's exactly how I feel about it.
I don't
know
if
you
discussed that with his pastor.
You know what's funny is,
Deborah,
many people feel that Christianity is really the basis of Christianity and the book of the Bible is filled with out-of-body experiences.
Oh, yeah.
St. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians when he clearly states in 2 Corinthians, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not. But I heard noises. And then he talked, which I feel is referring to the vibrational state.
Right.
And he goes into this in detail. There's another part where St. Paul actually visits one of the other... most of St. Paul's writing is basically his guidance to the different churches along the Mediterranean.
Right.
A lot of the churches were in Turkey, for instance. He spent a lot of time in Turkey. And he actually has one of related experience where he actually visits and sees what they're preaching, and he doesn't like it. And then he writes them a very harsh letter criticizing what they're teaching because they're not sticking to what he feels was the true path of Christianity. So there's many segments of the Bible that talk about OBEs. It's a shame that the so-called modern preachers overlook these very profound experiences and focus on the dogma instead.
It's been my experience that free thinkers are not welcomed into church.
Well, yeah. I was going to ask if your brother-in-law had shared his out-of-body and UFO experience with his pastor, but I guess not.
I don't think he would do that. Or if he did, I think his pastor would tell him.
Yeah,
tell
what
him
have you been drinking?
Away. Yeah. I have another thing I'd like to comment on, if you don't mind.
Sure.
In my observation of Christianity, the Christians have three major events in Christianity: the birth of Christ, the crucifixion, and the resurrection.
Right.
And it just seems to me that the most important of those three things isn't the, and I think Christianity leans toward the crucifixion, but I would say, in my opinion, the fact that he rose from the dead and transcended death is a big statement to all humans on the planet. I think we're being told that we can there is no death.
That's right.
Death is an illusion.
I think that's the whole antithesis of the story of the resurrection. It was a very powerful statement of death is an illusion, but yet people don't take it as that. I really feel everybody takes, not everybody, but as we all know, many people take the Bible literally. And as the previous caller even said, that Edgar Cayce even realized that it wasn't true. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. There's millions of people believe that the earth was actually created in 7 days, for God's sake, and that they still don't believe dinosaurs existed. They think that was just a creation of propaganda.
Right.
It's amazing. I've run into these people. I mean, I was kind of shocked.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a pretty shocking thing, because I've been to the Smithsonian, and I like to take these people into the Smithsonian and have them natural history exhibit and show them around. I said, well, what do you think? All this was just a plaster cast, huh? I mean, it's a shame, though, that people are so attached to such a limited view of reality. And
let me address Dale's question there, because I think he really hit on it. I think the most important thing, the thing that Jesus was trying to tell us, is that it is possible to Christ the body, that you can become this light body being and retain all of your memory, all of your love, all of your form. However, even after he was resurrected, when he appeared to the one woman he loved most, she did not recognize him until he spoke to her.
Yes, that's very interesting. And I think you hit a good point. That was his light body. That's what I found interesting. It's very clear when you read the Bible that it's not really a physical body they're referring to. I mean, it's a light body.
Well, maybe people,
especially today, and Americans, are looking for the easy way. Somebody give me the 1, 2, 3 steps of Christianity and I'll be good to go and I don't have to take any responsibility.
Right.
But we got to take our responsibility. We have to take the responsibility for
right.
everything we do. And, you know, I didn't just wake up yesterday figuring this out. It took me a lot of years. Because I spent 27 years in the military. And I tell you, I was lucky. I never get deployed to combat, but I've come to understand that war is nothing but a racket. That's all it is.
Exactly right. It's all about.
Well, I have one last comment, and then I'll get off. This is about Edgar Casey. I recall reading several years ago in one of his books, they did a future life reading for him, for himself, and he
right.
stated in the reading that he saw himself flying over a part of the United States that had been geologically changed, but new cities were built, and he's flying around in some kind of disc-shaped aircraft. What do you guys think of that?
I have not read that, so it's hard for me to comment.
I can't comment on his statement, but I definitely think that geological changes are coming, and I think that new forms of propulsion and energy are right on the threshold of happening.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for letting me be on.
Okay, thank you.
It's been our pleasure, Dale. You can come back anytime.
Thank you. Bye.
Goodbye. William, we were talking about applying our intention, our personal vibrational power to other places and other times. Can we even do this to our own past?
Well, we can experience our past again, or examine our past, or observe it. This
okay.
I've done, and other people have done many times. Matter of fact, there's almost a natural tendency to do this during OBEs. Myself and other people have written about it. Many people have a tendency to go to the cause of an issue, and many times we're still trying to resolve issues. This happens in hypnosis work, too, by the way. This isn't anything new. I mean, when you... Past life regressions have been done by, my God, 1 million people in America I know have had them done. There's a lot of people, I know several people that specialize in doing this work.
Uh-huh.
And we have a tendency to automatically go back to re-experience, let's just say, unresolved issues that we're carrying forward into this life.
Well, what happens when we do that?
Well, we have a tendency to, we have an ability to resolve them very eloquently and efficiently. I'll give you an example. In Adventures Beyond the Body, I talk about Michael Crichton, the author of Jurassic Park, and I shared one of his out-of-body experiences. And Michael Crichton had an experience where he actually leaves his body, and he met his deceased father, who he had a very poor relationship with. I mean, very poor. They didn't speak. And I can relate because I had kind of the same. And anyway, he said that he instantly met and resolved. Instantly. They hugged, and he just felt this immediate, let's just say, merging and transformation of his bitterness that he held. It was all resolved in a matter of seconds. He said, and this was his words, not mine. I mean, I put the whole context of his experience in my book, word for word, how he said it. And he resolved this past clinging issue instantly through an out-of-body experience. And he even says after that, he did an analysis of his own experience, and he said that, you know, this may have taken years in therapy to resolve, and he did it in a matter of minutes through one out-of-body experience.
So
this is what I'm talking about.
Michael's life was changed after that.
Yes.
Now, was his father still alive?
No, his father had died.
Oh,
and, but they were not on speaking terms. They somehow did not get along for many years.
Uh-huh.
And when he met his father was deceased. And he met his dead father. And so there's a lot of people have these. I wanted to share this. So this is not a bunch of flakes having these experiences. You know, Michael Crichton is, my God, one of the most famous authors in the world today. You know, the creator of ER, Jurassic Park. And I know a lot of other people that are having experiences. The physicist Fred Alan Wolf has detailed some of his out-of-body experience. Who's written, my God, I don't know, 8 books on physics. So this is a common experience that's worldwide, and it gives people an opportunity to really tap in and resolve issues that they've been holding. And there's the potential of this is actually unlimited, and it's quite incredible.
Well, some would say that we set up patterns or walls or mirrors inside ourselves. We block ourselves by how we react to, maybe improperly, how we react to past experiences that we've had. Like we might say, well, I'm never going to do that again. And then we do it over and over and over again the same way, and we just, you know, beat ourselves up because we're not cleared of that.
Exactly. So, that's why most marriages, or 50% of marriages, fail. That's another thing that's a recurring issue. I mean, people have a lot of recurring issues. That's why it was necessary to reincarnate. Now, whether you wish to believe in reincarnation or not, you know, it doesn't matter to me, but I proved it to myself through my own experiences. And, you know, this recurring issue is a serious, serious problem for all of humanity. There's 6.5 billion people here because they have issues. If, let's face it, if we had resolved everything, there'd be no need to return. And this, I mean, it's that simple.
Well, there are a lot of people here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, so there's a lot of darn problems. And there's a lot of unresolved problems. And most
people...
Do you
think all those people came from here, or do you think they come
from... No, everybody's been here before. Everybody.
Okay.
You know, the universe is a big place. A big place. On another related subject, there's many, let's just say... I hate to use the word soul, but there's many souls that have never incarnated. Because it takes courage to incarnate. There's no gun to everyone's head. There's many that are just not up for it yet.
So you can just...
The universe is a very crowded spot.
You can just stay in angelic form and not go through physical...
Well, it's not angelic. You're just on the astral plane. For most of them, the astral plane is vast. Vast. It's far beyond our comprehension, how vast. Far more vast than anybody has ever written about and described it accurately. It is beyond our comprehension just how vast that energy dimension is. Levels within levels. And it's expanding because our thoughts are expanding it. The universe, the physical universe is expanding because of thought.
That's
not
exactly
because
right.
of some miraculous big bang and blah, blah. I'm not buying that. It's because of the expansion of thought. Thought expands everything.
The definition of space is an area that either has energy or particles in it. And thought is energy. So it's expanding out beyond the realm of whatever.
The physical universe is the epidermis layer of the entire universe.
Yeah,
and that's what many scientists fail to understand. We're looking at an expanding outer, like the thin skin of a peach that's expanding outward. But the inner workings of it is the energy of thought, of the energy of consciousness. And as the more and more thoughts are expanded, the outer epidermis layer must expand. And there's no limit to this. There's nothing. It can continue. So this idea of, this is an important idea because an out-of-body experience is actually a misnomer. What we're actually doing is allowing a portion of our awareness. We're already on the astral plane. We're all multidimensional beings. You follow me? Just to try to clarify this. We are already on the soul level. We're already on the astral plane. We're already on the etheric plane. We're multidimensional beings. When you have an out-of-body experience, what you're actually doing is allowing a shift of consciousness to go from the external physical world, the epidermis part of yourself, which is your physical body, and you're moving inward. You're shifting your awareness or a percentage of your awareness to your next energy body. And people experience this as an exteriorization because they feel like they're leaving their body. But what they've actually done is shifted their consciousness to another energy body that they've always there. And then they, with enough consciousness in that body, they can begin to, let's just say, move and operate independently within that energy body. I'm just trying to clarify what this truly is.
I can see, though, as someone becomes not only aware of this, but adept with it, able to navigate it and negotiate it, that physically, their presence here in this world, it begins to change. They become a more enlightened being. They become more helpful, more guiding to people around them, and less of a consumer and less of a person locked into the physical.
Well, that's exactly what would happen, because you feel the need to provide service. That's what I try to do. I try to provide service. I try to provide information that I feel is needed to the best of my ability. And in my experiences and my research, I'm still only scratching the surface. But you feel that need. You have to provide. You have to help where you can. It makes a huge shift in consciousness, I think, for everyone, because you realize that the physical world is just a passing dream, and that the real reality is always present. And this idea about waiting, that it's not the future. It's now.
Yeah, it's now.
Everything is now. Everything is now. The universe is now. Everything that ever will be is now. And you begin to tap into that. And it gets exciting, because then things just start happening. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Then you're able to start manifesting things in this physical world. Instead of just dreaming about them, you're making them happen.
Well, you're not only making them. When you act as a channel for the greater good or for greater consciousness, things just open up. I just lived for 4 years in China, and there was a reason for that. It just manifested. I've traveled the world now. I mean, I was just in Italy 2 weeks ago during a big spiritual convention of 1,000 people presenting this information. For the first time in Italy, I presented this.
Wow.
They've never had a speaker. There were 35 speakers. There was 1,000 people present. They even told me this has been going on for 14th year. I'm the first person to ever bring up this topic in Italy.
How about that?
So the point is, I didn't do anything. Somebody said something to somebody, and before I knew it, they called me, you know, or wrote to me and asked for my presence. And right after me, Raymond Moody spoke on Saturday. Anyway, the thing is that things just happen because the information is needed and the universe provides it. The universe provides us with everything we need if we're working for the greater good, I feel. And I hate that term, greater good, but for the evolution of consciousness is the greater good, because that's the purpose. Earth changes and all these things they're not important. I know people think they are, but they're really not. It's all part of the passing show.
Yeah, well, it's just going to be another form of punctuation. We're gonna survive it.
But I mean, as you have out of body experiences, you start your what happens is your entire framework of reference changes, and it's a difficult thing to explain because your perception of everything around you is altered.
Well, in the last 30 seconds of this hour, I do want to remind you, listeners, that William's website is astralinfo.org. His books are Secret of the Soul and Adventures Beyond the Body. So make sure to get to his website, pick those books up. We're going to take about another 3-minute commercial break. Let our affiliates recognize themselves. This is a 3-hour program, so hang around for the third hour. You won't believe where we go from here. We'll be back after these messages with more William Buhlman. Down at NRG Resources have introduced a new engine oil technology. TVT 24/7 is the future of lubrication. This is the industry's first environmentally friendly oil additive that not only increases fuel mileage, it reduces engine, gearbox, and transaxle wear to nothing. The other brands fail anti-friction testing in less than 10 minutes under standard testing conditions. TVT 24/7 went more than 24 hours in the test and still did not fail. Get tomorrow's technology today by visiting the online store at X Squared Radio and pick up TVT 24/7 Engine Oil Energizer. There is some place you should visit before the end of the week. The Horizon Project is probably the most important examination of future events in the world today. But there is a reason you should visit their website soon. I can't give you all the details here, but I can tell you that the first DVD in the 6-part series is now available for pre-purchase at $5 off. This series will no doubt be airing on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, but you need the uncut version with all of the bonus material. Trust me, it may be one of the most important video productions you will ever see. Click on the Horizon Project banner at X Squared Radio today. If you have survived a disaster without food and clean water, then you need to visit NitroPack. They have been providing emergency preparedness supplies for more than 19 years. They have everything from 72-hour kits to a full year's supply for an entire family. We wanted you to have access to the best. That is why we searched for many months to find NitroPack. Click the NitroPack banner at X Squared Radio and get prepared. The foundations of religion and science were utilized to write our first two volumes of The Ark of Millions of Years. The third volume, called Unlocking the Secret, is about to hit presses. We want you to be aware of what is coming. You and I know that your potential is absolutely unlimited. We have crafted the final work of the trilogy, so you have tools necessary to work the law of attraction. Find out what the ancient masters knew. Learn the methods necessary to affect the universe on purpose for the good of your life. Go to the online store at X Squared Radio and get your copy on order today. This is Brooks Agnew with X Squared Radio with a message for our friends in the radio broadcast world. If you have noticed that your listeners aren't around anymore, it's because they are right here with us. If you would like them back in your radio fold, then all you have to do is add X Squared Radio to your program content. The statistics don't lie. We are now the fastest growing talk radio program in North America. Don't be late, because we are about to launch another hour of X Squared Radio.
Expand consciousness.
Welcome back, my friends, to X Squared Radio. We're coming to you live from Eastern Washington State. We're glad that you're here with us tonight. We're right up against the border of Canada and Idaho. It's kind of warm tonight. We enjoy it. Our guest tonight is William Buhlman. His website is astralinfo.org. A new type of solar sail has been woven by a team of scientists in Finland. The spiderweb-like sail is designed to catch the wind of ionized gas that blows from the sun, carrying spacecraft to the outer reaches of the solar system, or letting them tack back and forth through the asteroid belt on exploration or mining missions. The new sail differs from the more conventional type of solar sail, which is designed using the gentle pressures of sunlight to move a spacecraft. Instead of catching sunlight, Pekka Janjunsson of the Finnish Meteorological Institute in Helsinki is aiming to sail using the solar wind, a tenuous plasma of electrons and positive ions blowing out through the solar system at speeds of hundreds of kilometers per second. Janjunsson's plan is to reel out long wires from the spacecraft and pump a positive electron charge into them so that they repel the heavy positive ions in the solar wind. That way, a wire only microns across can feel the force of a broad swath of passing plasma. Wow, that's kind of interesting. Kind of behaves like a sail many meters across. One problem is the high-velocity micrometeoroids shooting through interplanetary space. Quote, they would break these metal filaments, says Janjunsson, making them more robust. Sections of sail will be woven from four strands of wire, two straight parallel strands running a couple of centimeters apart, held together by two more strands that crisscross between them. In theory, a space spiderling could then fly even faster than conventional rockets. They say they could achieve speed of 100 kilometers per second with a much smaller payload than current spacecraft, but if we only make a speed record, the space agency won't fund us, says Janjunsson. So hopefully they'll be able to get a little more payload and get these things out there into the far reaches of space without spending anything in rocket fuel or hexane or hydrazine or any of these other fuels like methane. They could just put out the sail and head off. Sounds pretty interesting to me. William, in this hour, I would like to explore something a little bit more ethereal, if we can. Maybe the idea you brought up earlier about our true form, and you mentioned that really we are ETs on Earth. So you mentioned that you started looking at yourself after years of being out of body or out of body experiences, that you were actually a globe of consciousness. Is this like the orbs that we see, that we catch with our cameras? Is this what we're seeing?
Well, I'm not saying it's the orbs. I think there's various explanations for orbs. I've seen orbs myself. They can be a manifestation of consciousness, but they also can be self-created by the individual, just like poltergeist activity is created by people in the physical world.
You
follow me? There's an energy, and our energy is creating this. Consciousness is creating it. I'm not saying that every orb has independent consciousness in and of itself. I think that's much too simplistic. Now, getting to your question, this when I started leaving my body, it was 1972, and the first experience was mind-blowing for me. It just opened. I was an agnostic, so I had never even heard of this. A friend of mine had a spontaneous experience, and I just wanted to see if it was real, because I had lost all, my faith in any religion or anything, and But suddenly I found that there were techniques that you could self-initiate this experience. And to me, that was exciting. And I wanted to see if it was true. That's how I started. And first, when I first had my first, I would say for the first 2 years of my OBEs, I pretty much maintained my physical form as I am. And there was slight changes in it, but I basically remained pretty much the way I am. I'm, you know, a male form. And as I prolonged my experiences, that's when amazing things started to happen. And I realized that as I used awareness techniques, like awareness now, I could focus and upgrade my awareness. I could prolong my OBEs, and I could also move from level to level by just ending it, by saying level now, move now. There's different commands, and I talk about this in my books.
Uh-huh.
How you move from level, energy level to energy level while out of body. Which of course is fascinating because once you get beyond the physical world and you start to move inward as we talked about earlier, because that's what you're doing, you're raising your vibration rate, you're moving to an inner world because that's where reality is, inward. And as you do, I realized I was beginning to lose my humanoid form that I was, like everyone else, I thought, well, this is what I am. And that was probably the most remarkable thing for me was the moment that I realized that, oh my God, I'm not this thing. I'm not human. This is just a role. This is just an animalistic form I'm using in this dense body for experiences. And I really, as I moved inward, I realized that my entire humanoid form, first my arms, when you stare at your hand during an out-of-body experience, for those that are listening that know, they can confirm this, your hand will begin to dissolve. And many people, this freaks them out. It's because your hand is a mental construct. That many people still don't understand. There's so many things about this that are still unknown. But your hand, your astral hand, your etheric hand, is a mental construct, is a vehicle. It's not real. And as you move inward, all of these external constructs begin to dissolve, and you begin to essentially assume your true state, which is formless, is actually our true state. We have unlimited potential to assume any form. But I have found that as I move inward, I generally, since we're a form-based society, people can't relate to nothingness because they think it is nothing, which of course it's not. It's everything. Because
right.
It's the potential of all form is a speck of consciousness can assume any form. But for most of my experiences, your 360-degree vision, for lack of a better word, or perception is actually a more accurate phrase, and you're like a globe of consciousness, and you can move by just thought. And that's what you've rapidly become as you move inward. And this has been confirmed by other people. I teach this in my workshops, how to do this, because it's a transformational experience. It blows away all of the old self-conceptions. At that moment, you're no longer attached to the old three-dimensional, what I call prison. Because that's what this is. The physical world is like the Matrix, and you know, the movie The Matrix. It's a construct. It truly is a construct. And it's not, it's just a temporary reality. And as you move inward, you realize you can create any reality. You can create any form. And I know this sounds wild, but what I like to say to everyone is that you can verify this for yourself. I put 30, 40 techniques in my books. They're based on decades of personal experience. If they don't work, I don't put them in my book. And you repeat this technique every night. You do it every night for 60 days. It took me 30 days to have my first experience. I'm not a natural. I had to work at it, and I still work at it. But it's fun. It's an adventure. The point is here that this is about personal verification and exploration. You know, I travel the world. I like I mentioned, I've just come back from living in China and Asia for 4 years. And I have, my God, I got like a million frequent flyer points. And still, nothing more exciting than an OBE.
Right. Well, I think we have a caller on the line. Caller,
yes.
Your first name and where you're calling from, please.
Elizabeth, and I'm calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was calling, I guess, basically, you were speaking of the globe-like and how the hand disappears because it's all the thought, and it was reminding me of when I was little, and I thought maybe my description might be something that might be useful for others. I would have a hard time falling asleep as a little girl, and so I would lay in bed. And when I would lay there, I would have my eyes closed, and guessing it was probably pretty much an astral projection type thing, where I would go into this really infinitesimal, small, kind of amoeba-like something or other, and then I would expand out into every nothingness. And I would go back and forth between the two until eventually I collided back into physical form and would fall asleep. But it was very difficult to describe as a kid. As I got older, I found words to be able to do it with. But the part of the amoeba-like, I don't know, like you said, like a globe of consciousness. There's no real shape, but it's not solid either. And that's
absolutely
reminding me of, and I just...
Yeah, I like to, that's a good experience. That's a good, good analogy because, for one thing, it's, I have an entire chapter devoted to children's experiences. Children are very open to OBEs in general. They're very open to psychic experiences also. Many children have experiences, and unfortunately the parents have a tendency to just bluff it off. You know, it was only a dream is the typical phrase. I know I heard it as a child. It's unfortunate. Most parents aren't educated on these subjects, so they just assume everything is imaginary. But children are incredibly open to having all kinds of experiences. I put 35 children's experiences in one of my books that are wild, some of them, you know, playing ball with the dead grandfather, stuff like that.
Right.
But, yeah, that's a great experience. And, you know, if you were open as a child, you can be still today if you just practice and learn a few methods if you want to pursue it.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's still, that's, you were open to it then, so you are now. It's just a matter of reawakening that skill, so to speak.
Well, I appreciate you letting me call. I just felt like it was a nice one to share and kind of along with that moment.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
so
very
much
welcome.
For calling.
Good rest of the show.
Call back again.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Okay,
William, let's talk a little bit about sleep. One episode of Star Trek Next Gen had a character called Q, who was sort of a renegade god who took a liking to the Enterprise and toyed with them on a regular and sometimes brutal basis. But in this one episode, the Council of the Gods punished Q by making him mortal for a short time. And Picard promptly just throws him in the brig. But after a few hours, Q summons Picard to his cell and he complains that now he's dying, that everything is going black, and his energy is draining away. And Picard just quips back at Q, says, "You're falling asleep." So, first of all, how important is it that we sleep?
Well, I think in a way more, of course it is important, but I think what's more interesting is actually what happens. Most people... You just think about this. Here we are in the 21st century, and you know there's no one really knows what happens when we go to sleep. There's no video of dreams. There's no, I mean, the only reason that we accept dreams is because we can share the experience with people around us.
Exactly.
But there's no evidence. There's no proof that dreams are real, right?
We have another caller, right?
Okay.
One of the things that I find fascinating, though, is that I feel that everyone has at least a partial out-of-body experience during sleep. We're just unaware of it.
Right.
So this is a universal experience.
We have another caller, so caller, your first name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Gary calling from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, Bill. This is Gary from Tucson. I was at your seminar last year.
Oh, hi, Gary.
Yeah, how
are things? It's been a while. That's been more than a year.
It does feel like it. Say, Bill, I had received an email from Maureen that there's going to be another seminar there again this year. Is that still on?
Yes, I'm doing this will be in Maine. I'll be doing a 3-day workshop in Portland, Maine.
Okay,
it'll be
great.
In September, yes.
I'm going to try and make it again.
Yeah, I'd like to do another one in Sedona at some point.
Well, we'll talk about that. Bill, the thing, the question I wanted to ask, and just also just sort of to point the conversation to something that I found especially fascinating in your book and part of the seminar last year, was the fact that when in a lot of your out-of-body experiences in the more recent years, as you've gone deeper into these experiences, that you often give the command higher self now, and has had some of your deepest and most almost ineffable experiences that are somewhat difficult to describe in human terms, but you managed to pull it off rather eloquently quite often. And I'm wondering if, you know, that is something that, you know, is what's been happening lately in that area as you still go in and do your sessions.
Well, that's what I focus on. In my personal life, that's what I focus on. I do my normal separation, which most of the time involves a light vibrational state, and then I move away from my body, and then higher self now is my command. That's my main exploration method, and it has been now for about 10 years. It's difficult. I don't talk about it a lot in radio shows or in events like this, because it goes beyond anything that you can relate to. You go beyond three-dimensional realities, and it's a very difficult thing to share to an audience.
I understand a lot of people may not get it, but I think there's also a lot, some folks that would, but it's like the way I understand it is sort of like an oceanic consciousness experience, for, again, lack of a better term.
Yeah, often you feel, the experience can manifest in various ways, but for me it's generally I'm in a void of awareness, or I'm in an ocean of light. It's just the best that I can describe it. And that, to me, is the most profound experiences that I've had. It's incredible, because you feel like you're connected to everything. I mean, that's the whole purpose. As you know from attending my workshops, that's what I focus on in the second day of the workshop. I'm trying to get that across to people, that you can have a profound spiritual experience using out-of-body exploration. A lot of people don't realize that today. That's still a new concept to a lot of people. They still feel, everybody's aware of yoga and meditation, but very few people in America are familiar with the concept of out-of-body, self-initiated out-of-body experiences to have a profound spiritual experience.
And it's
something that you don't have to go into a cave to do. I mean, it's really something that we can incorporate in our daily lives.
I think that's, for me, one of the most important parts of your work, and that I connect to relative to, and when I've read the books and at the seminar and so forth, is that it is something for everyday people, and it is a way for them to, as you say, expand your own personal experience and connect in a way to a new and deeper part of self that validates actually, it really validates all of the spiritual teachings of the major religions on a personal level, as opposed to, as you said earlier, just going to sit in a building and pray and sing, which has its place, like you say, in community, and it can be a good thing in many ways, so I don't mean to disparage it, but that, you know, on a personal level, this spiritual thing is made concrete in a way, I guess, is for
little Gary. Gary, let me throw something in here. A lot of times people, you know, talk about religion in from a standpoint of fear, but some of them talk about it from a standpoint of faith. And when I think about faith, I think about the term belief, that you believe something is so, and you have faith that it's so, and you've got to hang on to it. But when you have an out-of-body experience, and you actually experience that truth, then belief and faith no longer have a place in it. Now you have knowledge. Now you have something to
watch. Yeah, well
said. That's probably the most important thing about this whole subject matter, is that it becomes knowingness instead of belief, which is accepting somebody else's word for it. So.
Exactly. That is exactly what I try to get across in my events that I do. The importance of that. Earlier I was talking about how that's been pretty much lost in our culture, I think.
Knowing?
It's knowing, yeah. If everything's based on faith now. Faith in this, faith in that, faith in whatever is the popular belief system. But that doesn't, I have not found that, I would never be satisfied with that. Let's face it, you know, there's 300 million Americans. What would we believe today if we would have been a Hindu, or if we were all been born in China, or born in Thailand, or born in Iran? I mean, we'd all have a different belief system.
We would.
We certainly wouldn't be Christians.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And then our faith would be different, wouldn't it? So faith, to me, is no substitute for spiritual experience. That's the bottom line.
Well it is. When you actually experience it, and now you have a first-hand observation, and maybe you even have an involvement in it, because as an OBE-er, you're not in the dream state observing things. You're in an energy state experiencing it. You are participating in the event, right?
Yes, it's very interactive. It's can be very energetic and very interactive. Shockingly interactive.
Well, but that means, though, that there's an exchange of energy in both directions. You've been affected, and you've affected the place that you visited or that you interacted with.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We're in, or just like in quantum physics, a child standing next to a stream of electrons can affect the flow of electrons. When we leave our body, and we are definitely interacting, we're affecting whatever energy level we're on. That's a big subject, but yes, we're huge. Matter of fact, a lot of people that leave their bodies today are used as helpers to assist others in various ways. We didn't even get into that. But this is very common. And many people are even unaware of their participation.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The universe is a much busier place than we can perceive in the physical world. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. There's a lot of energy work being done behind the scenes. But beyond the veil, so to speak. And those that leave their body are often used as helpers.
What have you found, Gary? You've been to one of William's events. You've learned some tools. Have you applied them? What have you found?
Well, I have not had the type of out-of-body experience that Mr. Buettelman has had in his 35 years. But I've had a number of experiences that would certainly qualify as paranormal on the surface. In other words, taking a look at describing what has happened from an external point of view, and if you were to read, you know, if I wrote it down and somebody else read it, they would consider it a paranormal experience. But quite frankly, each one of those felt very natural to me while it was happening. So And throughout my entire life, I've had a number of these things happen. They've become sort of a regular, you know, a non-event in a sense, is because they're just part of the natural flow of existence. And that's why I think that the correct way to describe existence is the multiverse as opposed to the universe, because the universe sort of draws a connotation of physical matter reality, you know, atoms and concentrated energy forms like bodies and walls and buildings and cars and so forth, as opposed to beyond that, the multiverse is, I mean, where are emotions? Where are thoughts? They're not really part of the physical matter of reality, yet they are indeed energy forms, and they exist, you know, interrelated very much as if it was sort of a tapestry, if you will. There's physical matter reality, and it's interwoven with thoughts and emotions and all of the things that are the phenomena that we're talking about here on this program, and all the other phenomena that you two gentlemen have experienced and the listeners have experienced. It really is truly a multiverse, and that's one of the things that I find, you know, really so important about William's work, is that it really introduces that in a very a way that anybody can understand if they'll take a little time to sit down with the books and read through that. He's got a really good way of blending scientific reality, things that are very well accepted by science, and then weaving them in with these actual phenomena and experiences that happen, so that you can draw an explanation and you can relate them to one another and see how, hey, this is really just natural stuff that's going on. Perhaps we don't have the scientific instruments at this time to be able to measure some of these other phenomena and these other vibrational levels of energy. We just don't have the scientific instruments that can go that far just yet. But, hey, it's a young civilization. Hopefully we'll get there.
Well, you make a good point that thoughts and emotions and all that, maybe they're not real in the real sense that we think of things, but they certainly do affect the universe, just like dark matter and dark energy. You know, they're swinging galaxies around. We can't detect it, but we know it's there. So, yeah, these things have very powerful effects. You bet.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I would ask a question of Bill on that as far as, I mean, you did speak to dark matter and dark energy a little bit in at least one of the books that you wrote. And what is your thoughts about what that is at this point? Dark energy, dark matter. I mean, it is evidently, according to what I read, actually accounts for better than 95% of the universe, or the multiverse, I guess I should say.
Well, I look at it as a void, energy voids, in a way. That's an expansion of energy voids that are expanding outward because of thought. That's how I look at it, just like I feel that all of the physical world, I look at the physical universe just as like as a balloon that's expanding, and that we're only examining this outer part of the balloon, and we're missing the real important. I mean, it's the inside is what's important, and yet most of humanity miss the source of everything. That's the same thing with science. Science is missing the source because you can't physically examine it, so they don't give it any credibility. But there, in other words, everybody's exploring the result of energy instead of looking for the source. And to see the source, to experience the source, you have to, essentially, you have to go inward, either through deep meditation or trance work or OBEs. I mean, you have to go inside. And most people just don't want to take that effort. It's easier just to latch on to what's already out there and just believe something, whether it be science. And I'm referring to science also, because a lot of the current science of the day will be proven to be false in the future. It's an evolving thing as our knowledge expands. So
on a regular basis, science is.
Yeah, I mean, but this is going to expand even more as we begin to explore inward. That's when the answers will begin to appear. I mean,
yeah,
it's
that, kinda, that leads me to my next question, and it kind of, Gary kind of set it up for us. Once we have understanding and the entertainment value of traveling far and wide without the body wears off, how do we access the toolbox or the direction manual on how to utilize this energy form to affect the universe or to learn more than we could possibly imagine here on this earth? How do we do that? How
well,
do we
the most I feel strongly that the most important thing, I'm not concerned about the universe. What my main concern is knowing me, experiencing me, because I am a piece of the universe. The universe is in me. I'm the conduit for the universe. That's how I look at myself. I'm everywhere. I am on every dimension, just like we all are. And I think the biggest mistake often made is that people look externally instead of internally. And as we move inward, in other words, this whole idea of higher self now, I teach a technique where you leave your body and you demand to experience the highest spiritual aspect of yourself. Use whatever terminology you want. Soul, spirit, it doesn't matter. Your higher self will know what you mean. And you end up, if you're ready for that experience, you will literally go or move or expand your awareness into that realm, which is beyond all comprehension. And that's when you begin to really get a glimpse of what we are and where we're going. And that's what's essential, I think, for all of humanity to get to. Because until we do that, we're always going to be lingering on the outer edges of the universe, asking a bunch of questions like little kids.
Right.
We have to get to the point where we become explorers. We have to give up the childish ways of leaning on old beliefs and leaning on our physical nature. We have to go and become explorers of consciousness. It's just a matter of time. We all must do it, or we will continue to return to the physical prison, the physical world of the dense world of matter. And the Buddha said it when he talked about enlightenment. I know there's there's so many semantics here, but the whole idea of Buddhism was this, the same kind of concept, illumination. Call it what you will, but go inward. Go to where the answers lie. You don't get it through any external. But you have to take the effort. That's why I teach everybody, pick a technique, learn about them, and then 30 days. Spend 15 minutes a day doing a technique as you're falling asleep. That's all it takes. Anybody can incorporate this in their lifestyle. And do it. Don't talk about it. Do it. And that's what's so important, I think.
Sounds good to me.
I'll close with one last thought, if I might.
Okay.
And that is, as Bill said, you have to do the work. And if you look at every wisdom tradition, Buddhism, you know, and the like, and think in terms of monks and yogis and people who have spent many years, shall we say, made a dedicated effort to the inner work. When they trod their path and they have got somewhere or got inside, I guess, as Bill would say, then they come back and they take up a path of service where they teach others. And that's what Bill is doing. So I'll leave you guys with that, and Bill, hope to talk to you down the line.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you so much for your call, and please call back again sometime.
Okay. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night.
I think, you know, both you guys have it, and I like the idea of doing, that you don't just sit around and believe or sit around and have faith. You actually do something, and, you know, for me, yoga is okay. It'd be better if it wasn't for all the stretching, but, you know, there is something to be said about connecting your physical body and your energy body and then cracking it open so so that you connect with everything. Everything becomes accessible to you.
Yeah, when you look at the inner traditions, I mean, beyond, you strip away the facade of semantics, you know, whether it be Sufism, or the whirling dervishes, or Buddhism, or yoga. I mean, talking about deep yoga, like Raja Yoga, or Kundalini Yoga, where it's very energetic. When you go into that, they are essentially, if you talk to any of these people that are into this deep work, especially like Raja Yoga, or even shamanism, they are going beyond their body. The ones that have continued their work, they are moving beyond their physical body. Now, there unfortunately there's so many different semantics to describe the experience that often the interpretations are varied. Just like the Bible is filled, you know, with, for instance, the Bible's filled with references to OBEs. Revelations begins with a statement, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice. What is he referring to? John the Divine. No one knows who the author is, by the way.
Right.
And what does he mean? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. They didn't have the term near-death experience. They didn't have the term OBE. What would you, 2,000 years ago, what would you have called an OBE?
Oh, caught away in the Spirit, I guess.
I think that's a pretty darn accurate description.
Right.
And yet nobody connects the dots. I don't understand this. It's so clear when I read any segment, not just the Bible, but the Quran, any holy text, you'll see reference after reference, and yet nobody seems to get it because you know why? They haven't had the experience. They don't understand it because they have. If you haven't had the experience, you can't relate to it.
Well,
but these guys were having profound out-of-body experiences. I'm talking about many of the writers of the Bible and the Quran.
But there are prejudices, too. There are people, if you say, I was caught away in the Spirit, well, you're an evangelist. If you said, I had a out-of-body experience, well, you're a New Ager.
Exactly. That's what I mean about semantics.
Right.
This whole subject is wrapped in semantics. It's unfortunate. And it's,
Can they answer the question, where do we go after we die?
Well, they can once they have the experience.
Yeah, I reckon
that's the difference. Exactly.
So far,
I know.
It's only been, you know, NDEers or Jesus who's been able to come back and tell us, you know, with all full faculty, here's what you can become.
Well, there's more than that, though. A lot of OBEers can just tell you exactly what happens, too. Now, granted, there is a slightly different experience because you're not physically dead. But a lot of people out there, and I'm talking about countless thousands and thousands of them from all over the world have written to me with incredible descriptions. I know many people know exactly where they're going when they die, what the experience is like, who they will meet. I mean, they know. It's not a guesswork. That's what I mean. It's insane not to know. It's like a total form of insanity to live for 70 years, 75 years on this planet, not have a clue what's going to happen when you leave it. That's like going on a train ride for 75 years and not know your destination.
Think about it.
That's truly what it is.
Yeah.
That's why this work is important for people, especially today, because people, I feel today, many people are sick of all of these evangelistic baloney that's floating around. I don't know what else to call it.
That's good.
They are sick of it. I mean, it is so, I mean, the internet is filled with it. It is almost to the point of disgusting. It's manipulative. And, you know, they're just a matter of whipping up the congregation. My God, most of it is very political. It's not about, they've lost the entire concept of spirituality. And what we have to get back to is our own experiences. And unfortunately, that has to be done individually. And that's what I write about and teach. How to break free from all of the external manipulation and have your own darn experience. Don't believe what I say. Try it. Experience it. And then you'll know. And then you'll shockingly go, oh, my God, there's so much out there. There's so much I can do. I no longer have to be a pawn of some belief system or political system. You have immense freedom is really the benefit of self-initiated OBEs. That's how I feel.
I can tell you, William, I've heard a lot of things in my time on this planet. A few things have sounded as Christ-like as what you just said.
Well, it's just, you know, basing your life on your own experiences. That's the key. The thing is, we have to expand our experiences, or we will remain a pawn. And unfortunately, most of humanity is a pawn of the political systems, and they're a pawn of the religious systems, and they're a pawn of their culture. I mean, it's sad. It's like robots roving around. I mean, I hate to put it that way because it sounds a little kind of, and that's not my intention. I'm just trying to point out something. But really, so many people are like robots. I mean, they're programmed. They're programmed with their religion from birth, programmed to believe a political system. They're programmed to take on roles that aren't them, but they are told that they must follow. And it goes on. There's layers of programming that is so deep and so intense that that's why most of humanity is trapped in form. That's why most of humanity will return with another incarnation. That's just the raw, hard reality of it. Heaven is not at all what people think it is. Heaven is an immensely complex, immensely multidimensional universe of various energy dimensions and realities, all created by the group energy of that particular. For instance, the born-agains will have their own heaven. You follow me? And
yeah,
this goes on and on with subgroups. But it's not heaven at all. It's just another prison. Just
so,
vibrating a little bit higher than Earth. And this is a shocking realization. I've experienced this. I was shocked by it. I wish it wasn't true. I wish that everybody died and we all went to heaven and that was the end of it. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well,
wouldn't that be, I wouldn't be on the show.
I'm just not much of a harp player. I don't think I would enjoy it. You know why?
Yeah, well, it's from all the realities I've seen when out of body, they're actually, many of them are quite mundane and earth-like, physical-like, because that's what people perceive and conceive. People will only experience what they can conceive themselves as and in. That's the core issue here. If you can't perceive yourself beyond being a three-dimensional male, you can't escape from that role. Or a humanoid, you can't escape that role. You're locked in it. And that's what OBEs do. They shock you out of that. They really can shock you out of these roles.
Well, William, I wish we had another 3 hours. I told you it would go fast.
Yes, it did.
My very excellent guest is William Huelman, and his two books are Adventures Beyond the Body, Secret of the Soul, and his website is astralinfo.org. We try to put that in there as much as we can. Some people listen to an hour. Some people listen to all 3 hours. This is a three-hour program that goes by in about 15 minutes.
Right.
And,
I also have an 800 number for product if I have an opportunity to give it out.
Yeah, let's have it. I'll put it on the website.
Okay, it's 888-426-3917.
3917. We've got it. That's
right, William, we are completely out of time. In fact, we're about 60 seconds over, but I had to let you get that thought out, and I really, really appreciate you coming on the program. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yes, I did. It was a pleasure.
Excellent, excellent. So we will have you back on again, and you do have an event coming up in September. Do you have anything sooner than that coming up?
I have a workshop in France and in Italy coming up, and in Rome coming up in June, back to back. And then September, I'm doing Maine, Portland, Maine. It'll be a 3-day event.
Cool.
So that's what's planned for the rest of the year right now.
I'll try to make one of those. I'm very interested in your teachings, and I cannot wait to get through both of these books. If I don't get them soon, I'm going to buy them. All right, William. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you another time.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, my friends, that's another episode of X Squared Radio, April 27th, in the can. We'll see you next week. It has been a great pleasure to have you here with us this evening. Tell a friend about us, because every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we bring you the best 3 hours of exploration into the mysteries of the universe and of the Earth. If you're not getting all 3 hours, send us the call letters of your local station, and we'll do the rest. Remember, Earth Explorers, that you are Source. Everything we do will eventually affect the universe, so try to do it on purpose. Reach out for the good in people and help it to grow a little every day. And before long, you will have saved the planet. This is X Squared Radio saying, peace, Earth Explorers.
Per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.